may be one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation. That you are to flee from the wrath to come. To flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
And welcome to G220 Radio. I am your host, Ricky Gantz, and I want to thank you for joining me tonight. Tonight, I believe we have a very wonderful show planned, a very good talk planned for tonight's show. We will be talking with Kevin Smith later, who is a pastor and professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He will be on, like I said, a little bit later, and we will discuss the topic of the Black Church, stereotypes, and the social gospel. But before we get to that, this first half hour, I'm going to be joined by George Alvarado, who many of you know is the author of the book Apostasy, and he's going to be on with me this first half hour to talk about Frontier Days. What is Frontier Days? Well, we're going to find out about that from George. George, how you doing, brother?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you good.
Hello. Sweet.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. Things are going really well over here. How about you?
Yeah, things are going good. Things are going good. Now, are you in the field? Because I seen a post that you put that you're doing some duty, right?
Yeah, we're in assignment right now. So, I mean, I'm just out here for the next couple of days. So I should be coming back this weekend.
Right. Now, for an assignment for Air Force means it's kind of like a mini vacation, right?
Yeah, for some, yeah. Just depends on what you're doing. For my specific job, it can be. It just depends on whether or not you got everything you're supposed to be done and get it done fast. If you can do that, then you can spend the rest of your time doing whatever it is you want to do. So, but I didn't say that.
Yeah, I had to, I had to throw that in there because, you know, being Army, you know, so I just, a little, it's all love there, though. Hey, brother, since I got you on, before we get into Frontier Days and talking about that, I mentioned last week that I was going to play the video, or the audio portion of the Apostasy Awareness. But since I have you on, maybe you could just kind of touch on that a little bit and let the listeners know what's going on this month with that.
Okay, really fast. This month, obviously, like you said, Apostasy Awareness month. Trying to get the word out, not only about the message, but we're trying to get people to know about the sin of apostasy. Now, it's a little bit of a promotional slash wanting to get people aware. So what we've done is through Gospel Tract Planet and Water Source, we're advertising, you know, people to click on a graphic on our Facebook page and to tag someone, and then when they do that, they enter into a giveaway. Each week we'll be giving away books all throughout the month of August. Now, if they go on an email, Gospel Tract Planet sent an email with the same graphic, all they had to do was, you know, courtesy copy me, mr.apostasy@yahoo.com, which is also linked to a video, and it explains what you have to do to be able to get into a list of names so that you can be picked randomly at the end of each week for possibly getting a free signed copy. If not,
Gospel Track Planet is doing 20% off all month, so you can still get it then. And what we're just trying to do is really simple. We're not trying to do anything big. We're just trying to get the word out so that people know about the sin of not evangelizing.
Right. And make sure you follow the details in the message and what you said on the page, because as you see, I have a problem following directions. You said, please do not put this as your Facebook picture, and I did. And I was like, oh, yeah, it does say that right underneath that. So,
so much for following. Man. It's all right.
Right. So, yeah, we want to talk about Frontier Days. It's something that you guys just did, was a couple weeks ago? I think it was maybe 2 weeks
yes,
ago or so?
Yes, we did it in the month of July from the 16th through the 25th. And next year it'll be from July 17th through the 26th. It's usually, you know, around, you know, a week and a half or so by which it's one of the biggest rodeos on this side of the hemisphere. Over 500,000 people are usually projected to come through the city throughout that whole time. So.
Right. So was this the first year that you guys were out there then?
No, this is not the first. Well, this is the first year as a semi-planned event. This was sort of the prototype year. We were trying to work out a lot of kinks so that the years to come, it'll become more an organized event, so that way things are running more smoothly. We were definitely able this year to find out a lot more kinks. We were greatly assisted by men like Bill Adams, who does Super Bowl outreach. He hooked us up with Liberty Institute, who helped us out as well with some legal things. That was really, really helpful. Esli Carrero, she is the one who does normally the tracks for Living Water. She also designed one of our tracks so that we can pass out about 15,000, which we almost hit all of them. We found a box with a small stash of them. You know, inside I started to yell, no! But, I mean, it was okay. I mean, we almost 15,000 tracks all went out that day. We also got some assistance from some great, you know, group of believers that wanted to help out with the lunches, and Steve came out with us and Pat. We also had a guest evangelist named Jeff Ward, who's out in Colorado. He came out and helped us out as well. So a lot of people were involved in the process this year to try to work out what we can do next year. And there were some great witnessing encounters. We had a little bit of static from some of the people who organized some of the events, once again telling us we can't preach. And we were able to kind of tell them and confront them and let them know, hey, Liberty Institute had contacted your police department and let them know we're going to be doing this, so what's the problem? We ran into some other very small issues as well with some of them as well, but they were able to back off and allow us to utilize the public space to be able to pass out tracts, which was something that did not happen last year. Last year, I was given a bunch of grief when I was doing it with my group. And, you know, I stood my ground, but, you know, this year I wanted to make sure that we were in the right and that we had a little bit more ammunition. And we did. So they kind of backed off this year and allowed us to do our thing. And it was great. God blessed. There were so many people out there. Sure, people were upset. Even some of them kind of walked past us and said, no, I prefer to lust in my heart. It's like, well, at least you read the tract. You know, I mean, there's nothing else you can say after that. They just kind of walk past you and say snarky remarks. But there were some people who were receptive. Took the track. Some Christians who were professing Christians who seemed genuine, who were greatly inspired by what we were doing out there. They read the track. They said they'd check out the ministry, Water Source Ministries. So all in all, the event went really, really well. It was a success in the sense that the gospel went out, and we hardly had any troubles this year. Lord willing, they're not planning anything for next year, but we will see.
You said you're not planning anything for any an outreach, you're saying, next year?
No, I'm saying, Lord willing, that those people who didn't give us trouble this year won't be planning to give us trouble next year.
Right. Yeah, so when you said earlier the prototype, this is something that you guys want to try to, you know, have as an evangelistic outreach where maybe other, you know, brothers and sisters can come and travel to this and be a part of this. It's this outreach, correct?
Yes, sir. That's what we're trying to do. We're wanting to, you know, make sure that there's some smoother organization so that way, you know, not only will the locals get involved, and we did make some connections with some locals who wanted to see what we're doing, so Lord willing, we'll get in touch with them soon. But we also want, you know, guest evangelists, preachers, people who are interested in a huge evangelistic prospect, and wanting them to be able to come over during that time once a year to be able to preach to, like I said, thousands of people. And you get foreigners here too. So it's a great opportunity to reach people that normally you wouldn't see there on other parts of the world that come here just to see rodeos, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so how long is this again? How many days is this event?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember, but it's about a week and a half. So, you know, about maybe 10 days, 11 days of just straight rodeos and stuff like that. There are always concerts going on, parades going on. There's something called a pancake breakfast, which we were able to open or preach on. We missed the one day that was probably the most people out there during that time, but we won't miss it next year, I guarantee you that. But we were able to open or preach out there with people in lines waiting for this huge pancake serving. They serve about, you know, anywhere between 5,000 to 9,000 people in one morning. And that happens three times during the week. So you can imagine the numbers of people that are coming in line just to eat pancakes. So people in line waiting to just be fed. And we were able to preach the gospel to them with little conflict. I mean, we had some people sneering at us, but for the most part, we didn't have any hecklers. It was mostly the people organizing the event that were more upset with us, which understandably so. But the cops were right there, and they didn't say anything, so we were good.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, especially to have such a huge event right there in your area, where, you know, every day, like you said, for about a week and a half, you've got so much traffic coming through and opportunities for those who are able to be out there to just, you know, witness and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And,
Amen. So one of the things that we're going to do is that we're going to – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, brother.
So one of the things that we're going to try to do is try to release more information sooner, because if people are going to start coming over to this kind of event, if we cannot find a way to do what Super Bowl Outreach does, to where we can have people housed in a specific area, people would definitely need to know where to stay, because upwards of from March, they told us, hotels and motels get booked for that whole week and a half. So it's one of those things we're going to have to come out with information soon, but we'll definitely let people know if any kind of information that does come out will be, me and Steve will be working, Steve Bauer, Water Source, will be working sooner than later on that, so that way you can let all other people know when to be able to contact us. And it'll be probably more than likely through the Water Source Ministries or Water Source Chapel, which you can like their Facebook page and get the updates on that.
Yeah, again, praise the Lord, man. That's good stuff. it's always good to see it. What I was going to say earlier was just about the, when you mentioned the tracks, you know, finding some after you thought you had given them all away. I've done that myself before in the past. I ordered, you know, not that many tracks, not 15,000, but I had, you know, a couple hundred tracks that I ordered for, you know, around here there's smaller events. There's nothing really that major. But like for the 4th of July or something that's themed, and I'm like, I'm handing them all out, and I'm like, man, I'm done with all these tracks. Actually, it was at the St. Patrick's Day Parade that I did this just this year.
Oh, yeah.
I had got specific St. Patty's Day tracks and went down and was handing them all out and ran out. So I started pulling out just, you know, my regular stash of tracks. And as we was walking back to the car, I was like, what's this in my pocket? And it was like another probably like 50 or so, you know, and I was like, man, these would have went faster than the ones I was trying to give away that one theme, you know, for the event. And
I know how you feel. It's definitely frustrating. I mean, you should be happy that what you got out, but when you thought that it was over, you had them all out, you can praise the Lord that they're all gone, you look at this stash, and you're like, oh, come on, really? So it was that moment when I looked in the back of the truck and I saw that box. But like I said, praise the Lord, a lot of people were there. There's so many pinch points all throughout the Frontier Park area, which we were predominantly at, and by the concert area, where we were just able to just literally unload tracks out of our hand as people were coming off the bus. at one point throughout the park, it got so manic that we really felt shorthanded. Like, there wasn't enough people in our on our side to be able to pass out as many tracks as we were passing out. And, of course, you have to account for people who are rejected, you know, who won't accept a track, or people who earlier that day had already received the track because we were already out earlier doing something else at the parade. So you have to account for those. But there were so many people at one time. There was just everywhere, and they were all trying to pile into the Tim McGraw concert, which was the main event, and 30,000 people were projected to be in the park for that one concert. So that's an insane amount of numbers, and that was just for one day. So to give you a good idea, and anybody who's listening, this kind of event is probably one of the bigger events I've ever been a part of when it comes to being able to preach the gospel, witness, hand out one on tracks. This event, though, for anybody who is interested, you have to be cognizant of the fact that everybody's in transition, so not many people are going to be willing to stand there and talk to you. So if you do have one, praise the Lord, but just know it's mostly a open-air preaching, handing out tracts event. Not a lot of people are willing to stand there and talk.
Yeah. How many guys and or ladies did you have out there with you?
At a regular number, not everybody who was a part of the team were able to come out every single day. But at the very least, we had at least 3 to 4 people out there with us. The one Saturday where Tim McGraw was performing, where we did the parade in the morning and then the Tim McGraw concert in the evening, we definitely had about 10 or 11 with us. That day was definitely a good day for us to have all those people because the parade was huge too, so we definitely needed the manning. But at any given moment, you know, people were going home either in the morning or in the afternoon. They came back the next day in the afternoon or in the morning. So, you know, it was kind of scattered. So total, you know, about, you know, 10 or 15 people. I just can't remember the number off the top of my head.
Right. And, you know, I know that, and you know this as well, when you're out there sharing the gospel, handing out tracts, and proclaiming the good news of Christ through open-air preaching, there are going to be Christians walk by, and you mentioned earlier that there were Christians that were encouraged by, you know, what you guys were doing. Did that open up any conversations with any churches or people from churches in the area that said, hey, I'd like to, you know, maybe talk to you guys later about, you know, kind of getting together and doing some of these things? Or
Steve ran into someone from the Frontier Baptist Association here, which is, I guess, is a conglomeration of churches in the area. And when he talked to them, they saw the tract, and they were interested in possibly engaging with us next year to help assist. So we're going to get with them, talk with them, see where they're at theologically. Lord willing, everything turns out well. And then hopefully we can get more help and manning and, you know, a lot of other things, Lord willing, from them because they're here local. And my dream, of course, is, you know, after I'm long gone, this will continue because, you know, I'd like to see this as a future event for, you know, years to come. And Lord willing, I'll return one year after I leave here, but, you know, I'll let God decide that.
Right. Yeah, because one of those things that I think a lot of people miss, or maybe I'm not thinking of the right words, but a lot of people overlook, is that it's not only when you're out there witnessing for the lost, it is that encouragement to, you know, other believers. Because we just recently had that out where we go at Rockin' on the River. When I went out there, because I haven't been able to be out there for, I haven't been out there, it's better English, I haven't been out there for a month because of, you know, vacation Bible school, and we had other stuff going on. There was always something going on a Friday night that was keeping me from being out there. But when I went out there this last Friday, there was a new a lady that was out there named Mary who came out because she was walking by, and she had tracks, some of the same tracks we have, get them from Track Planet or milliontracks.com. She had some of the same tracks, and she was walking by. She was leaving them places, you know, just like setting them there and putting them. And she walked by, and her husband said, hey, that lady and that group of people over there are handing out the same kind of tracks you have. So she went over and started talking to her, and she, because of that conversation and seeing that there was people actually out there doing that, you know, just handing them to people, she wanted to come and be a part of that. So she was with us there, you know, this last week, and has plans to, if, you know, the Lord wills, to be out there with us for the, you know, next week and the remainder of the outreach, which is on Friday nights. And so it's so important, you know, that people realize that we're not only just preaching to the lost, we're encouraging other believers as well. You know, sometimes encouraging them, but also other times maybe convicting them for not being, you know, a witness. So.
Yep. That's something that happened to us, you know, not just here, but during Frontier Days, but happened to an event called Super Day, where we handed out the Biggest Question DVDs, to which we met some believers that were interested in helping us for Frontier Days, and that's how they were able to help us for Frontier Days. So you're right. You know, you're always running to somebody who's either encouraged, wants to help, or whatever the case may be. And Lord willing, you know, they're not just out there just for, you know, ill motives, and they actually want to honor the Lord. But, you know, that's how you figure out as you minister with each other, and you're out there and you're fellowshipping. You guys figure all that stuff out by then. But like you said, you know, sometimes you'll convict certain people. Other times you'll encourage other people, and then you'll actually make connections, and you'll realize, hey, I'm not the only one out here doing this. You know, it's amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I know it's such a blessing to be able to, that the Lord allows us to share His good news, you know, with the lost world. It's such a blessing to be a part of that. And I think that when more people, you know, do it, and they're out there sharing the gospel, whether it be on the streets or at their jobs or wherever it may be, if they're being faithful to that call and not being in apostasy, you know, they're blessed by that. I know apostasy. Did I say something different? Apostasy?
You said apostasy.
Apostasy, yeah, okay. See, but apostasy. I was trying to say the word apostate, but I don't know if I pronounce it right, so I just figured I'd say apostasy.
One other of my friends makes fun of me. He said, when I say apostate, he said, are you saying apple cider? It's like, haha, that's funny. Not really.
Yeah, but so definitely it's a blessing. You're truly blessed by any opportunity to share the gospel, and it always encourages you to want to continue to share. I know I've talked to lots of people who have come out and joined us. Like I have these two younger college age girl who comes out with us, and then a younger kid who's 16 year old young man who comes out with us on Friday nights. And when it's done, they're just like, I don't want to stop. I want to just keep sharing it with more people, you know. And it's like, it's encouraging for me because they're so young and they're just on fire wanting to do that. It's just a blessing, man. It really is.
Yeah, we got a young guy too. He's 17. He's on fire as well.
Yeah, it's a blessing to see young people, you know, on fire for the Lord and just wanting to take those opportunities to go out and share the gospel as well. So definitely, brother, we'll be praying for, you know, this outreach. Listeners, keep that in mind. Be praying for it, that this may be an event that the Lord uses to bring in people from all over, and people locally would get more involved with, you know, like this church you mentioned, and maybe others come alongside and say, hey, this really is a great opportunity to get the gospel out. And that it'd be used for that. So. Yeah, definitely.
Yep, definitely.
So any other things going on with you, brother?
Other than those things, no, not really. Just trying to get through this assignment this week so that we can find a new car. Me and my wife are trying to find one. Ours got hail damage on it, so that one got towed and bye-bye. So now we're just trying to figure out a good car that we can get that's reliable. And it's always fun searching for vehicles, I'm sure, and you or the hearers can understand my pain in trying to figure out how to be able to find a car that you can trust as well as a dealer you can trust. And that's really hard. So.
Right. Yeah. There's, it's definitely hard. You never know if you're getting a deal or if you're getting ripped off, you know, even with the deal, because,
I know now. I got ripped off. I got ripped off my last purchase, so there's a lot of research that I've done, and I'm quite certain now unless I get stuck with a lemon, which you can never predict, I could pretty much tell what the car is supposed to be priced at. Yeah.
You have to ask for the Carfax. Not the Carfax, but the Carfax. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, it's a, you know, like, my daughter's at that age. She's at, you know, 16. She's actually supposed to take her test for her license this month. You know, hopefully she can get through the cones, you know. All right. But, you know, she's going to take that test. Well, she gets nervous. You know, like, she can do fine when she's in the car with me, but when she is in the car with somebody that's giving you an exam, you get that, you know, your that nervous feeling, you know. So
yeah, of course.
Hopefully she won't back into any cones. But, and I'm just trying to explain to her, you know, there's cars out here, and you got to be very careful when you're looking at cars. You got to really examine them. You got to really test them out, you know. I know when I was young, I was looking at the radio. That's all. I'd get in the car, like, how good is the radio? You know, like, that's not the most important thing, you know, in the
exactly.
car. But, you know. So,
yeah, I'm always popping the hood, and I'm inspecting the wheels and the wells and everything else. I'm the performance guy. I can see, you know, the inside of the vehicle, and I can tell at least a little bit whether or not the thing is going to probably be somewhat of a clunker. And I'll check the fluids and all kinds of other things, because there's some tricks that dealers and people do to vehicles. But everything else, for it seems, not every female is like this, but it seems that the females that I have run into, they'll usually say, well, that car doesn't look nice. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. But
right.
Everybody's different. Everybody buys a vehicle for different reasons.
Right. Absolutely. I had a minivan for just a little while. Actually, I've had it for a couple years. And I got rid of it because of gas and everything and got a smaller car. But now I'm missing my minivan. I'm like, you know, it was comfortable. The seats were really comfortable. And I had all that room. It's like now I can't pick people up and, like, you know, when we're going out to an event or something, I can only take so many people with me. And it's like, man, I'm missing that minivan. But I couldn't get anybody else to drive it. I was the only one stuck with it all the time. Like, I'd say, hey, I need to take a different car. Like, no, I'm not driving that. So, you know.
It's the same thing on road trips. You know, everybody's got that driver, and they're like, oh, we'll take turns. Sure, you will. And I'm stuck behind the wheel.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to for when my daughter gets her license, and, of course, more practice, because she definitely needs more experience driving, especially going on long trips.
You looking forward to her driving you around?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Like, right now, I've let her take me out to Cedar Point, you know, and when she's in the car with her mother, she says her mother stresses out. When she's in the car with me, she's like, Dad, you fall asleep. So, you know, like, I've actually fallen asleep, you know, driving home from Cedar Point, you know. And I trust her. I trust her driving for the most part. There's still that experience that you got to learn. So,
of course. Definitely. Yeah, of course.
But, of course, when I'm in the car, I feel a little safer, even if I am asleep, than if I'm not in the car. That's what I'm panicking for, like, when she's by herself. Because she's already like, Dad, as soon as I get the license, can I take you to work and drop you off? I'm like, no. I don't know if you're going to be able to pick me up if my car is going to be in one piece, you know. So you probably won't even be able to pick me up, you know. So, yeah. And plus she has this thing with – go ahead.
I was going to say, this is interesting that, you know, Christian Talk Radio, we're talking about minivans and vehicles and car dealerships.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is amazing, you know?
Life.
This
is life. Because what I'm concerned about is because she, when we're in the car, like, she knows where we live. She knows the area we live at. And she's like, Dad, how do I get here? I'm like, you don't know how to get there? We go there all the time. You know, so when you're behind the wheel, it's a little different. So, you know. I'm really praying for her, man. I'm you know, but
amen. But, you're gonna have that worn spot on the passenger side of the rug.
Oh yeah. I'm. This is not a time when you're a dad looking forward to that 16 years of age where they're ready to drive and they want to do it, you know, right away.
Yep.
You know, and so. But yeah, brother, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us about the Frontier Days and, you know, just the wonderful blessing that the Lord has blessed you guys with that opportunity and looking forward to see what the Lord will do in the future with that event. So,
amen. All right. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and enjoy the rest of your vacation out there.
Vacation?
In the field.
All right, thanks.
All right, brother, God bless, man.
All right, brother, God bless.
All right, bye-bye. And that was George Alvarado. We were talking about Frontier Days and some of the outreach stuff that he's got going on there. And so praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the opportunities and the event and just the chance to get out and share the gospel. There's nothing more important than the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what saves sinners. The gospel is the power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. So it's so important that we share that with the lost. And while we're waiting, I want to share, you know, as we was talking about that, I started thinking about this last Friday. I had an opportunity to talk with this young man named Jason, and he came up and he wanted to come out with us. He's like, hey, can I do this with you guys? Can I come out and be standing out here with you guys next week? And so, of course, you know, you want to be careful. You want to kind of, as we was talking about a little bit there, you want to kind of get to know who that person is and what they believe. And so this way, when you have that conversation with, you know, when they're out there with you and they're representing your group, you know that they're solid in what the gospel is. Not that everybody's always going to be on the same level of their understandings of the gospel or understanding of scripture, I should say. Some people maybe have been studying for years and may be on a different level of their understanding, and so they may know a little bit more. Maybe they know a little more on their eschatology. Maybe they know a little more on whatever the case may be. And so there may be some areas where some may have a little more knowledge, but that's not what we look at when we're saying, okay, can this person come out with us? We want to know if they have an understanding of what the gospel is. And we started talking, and hopefully the guy, I gave him my card, and he said he was going to email me and wanted to kind of go out sometime and sit down and actually have some lunch and talk about these things. Because I told him no, he couldn't come out with us, because as we started to talk, he's like saying that he likes to watch Joel Osteen and has Joel Osteen books, and he is such a positive guy that really gives him just really motivates him. And so it's very important that we know our theology and know the gospel, because that is a very important thing. So we will move along. Well, tonight we are going to talk about, again, the black church, stereotypes, and the social gospel. And I'm going to bring on my guest with me tonight. He is Kevin Smith. He is the assistant professor of Christian preaching at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has a B.S. from Hampton University, an M.Div. from the Church of God Theological Seminary, and he's a Ph.D. candidate at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And so we're going to bring him on. Pastor Kevin Smith, how you doing, brother? Hello? Okay, we've lost our call, so maybe he will call back in. And I'll go back to the story. So as I was saying that as we were talking and he started telling me about Joel Osteen and that he is very inspired and motivated by Joel's messages, and I shared with him that, you know, Joel Osteen is a false teacher, and that by that, I was taking him through and saying, hey, can you share the gospel with me? What would you say to somebody out here? And just kind of trying to find out and understand what his understanding of the gospel was and is. And he wasn't really able to do that, wasn't really able to translate that. Now, I do understand sometimes people may not be able to convey it, you know, the best, but they do have an understanding of it. But when you're going through, you can kind of learn how to ask certain questions to kind of try to find to understand what this person is believing, what this person is holding to. And so, it's a very important thing. And so as we was kind of going through that, that's when the issue of Joel Osteen came up. And so, you know, it was a good opportunity to talk to the guy. We talked to him for a long time. He was actually going into the concert area to listen to the bands that were playing, and he stood for a while. His friend kept trying to get him to come and was like, come on, let's go, hurry up. But he was able to stay there and continue the conversation, which was truly a blessing. It really was an absolute blessing. And so praise God for that. And I am praying and hoping that he will give a call or send me an email to set up something, because, like we said, we'd talk about that. Because when we started talking about Joel Osteen, that's when we kind of said, hey, let's sit down and talk about these things. You know, because one of the things you always want to do is you want to talk to people, you want to be truthful, you want to be honest and upfront with them, and you want to do that in love. You want to do it in love with gentleness and with a meekness to show them the error of their, you know, beliefs, if they're believing in someone like Joel Osteen or they have a false theological stand. You want to be able to show them that, but at the same time you want to be able to do it in a loving manner. You don't want to just come out and bash them over the head because they follow certain teachers or certain types of teaching. You want to try to do it as loving as possible. So praise the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to next week's outreach. And, you know, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Hey, George Alvarado here. Ever wondered why the majority of people who call themselves Christians don't share their faith? Do you know what you would call someone who does not regularly, consistently, and purposefully obey the Great Commission? Would you know what word to use? Apostasy, the greatest omission, answers these questions and more. My book not only coins a new word that Christians can use to describe the sin of not evangelizing, but it diagnoses the reasons why this sin is so rampant in our Western churches. And it provides a thorough, biblical understanding of the root causes so that you and other professing Christians can expose the greatest sin of omission. So whether you or your local church is on fire for the Lord, or you know somebody who is about as on fire as a wet match, this book is for you. Purchase your copy of Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at trackplanet.com and like our Facebook page to get the most recent updates concerning this book. Remember, it's Apostasy, the Greatest Omission, at trackplanet.com.
Hey, G220 Radio listeners, I want to tell you about a great way to share your faith through gospel tracts. One reason that some Christians don't share their faith is because of their fear of man. Sometimes they just don't know how to start off the conversation. Well, let me tell you, gospel tracts are a remarkable way to get into a conversation with someone about the gospel by just simply handing them a gospel tract and saying, did you get one of these? Handing out gospel tracts is a wonderful tool in the hands of Christians. You can leave them in doctor's offices, at airports, along with a tip at a restaurant. And if you leave them with a tip, make sure you're generous and don't leave a lousy tip with a gospel tract. Gospel tracts are a sure way to get the gospel into the hands of many people who might not normally come into the doors of a church on a Sunday morning. So if you never used gospel tracts, I want to encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and get some. And I want to let you know some awesome places that I get some really good, solid gospel tracts from. Places like TractPlanet.com. And also 1milliontracts.com. So check out these sites today. Order some gospel tracts. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ and fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of G220 Radio is to discuss a variety of topics within the Christian faith. I believe the Word of God is the final authority in the Christian's life, and in it you will find everything you need to know and live by in your Christian faith. Would you like to know more about G220 Radio? Go to g220radio.blogspot.com, where you can find past episodes of the show that will link you right to the Blog Talk site. Also, G220 Radio is a production of Disciple Making Ministries. If you go to rickygantz.blogspot.com, you will find information in how to get in contact with the ministry. You will also find past blog posts that I pray will be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and some may be challenging and convicting. If G220 Radio has been an encouragement to you, here is how you can help out the show. If you have an iTunes account, go and follow G220 Radio so you can listen to past episodes through podcast, and while you are there, rate the show. The more the show is rated with higher ratings will help get the show into the new and noteworthy category on iTunes, and will help promote the show and possibly get it to other viewers who might not normally come across the show. I would also like to encourage you to leave feedback comments about the show on iTunes. And don't forget to look up G220 Radio on Facebook and on Twitter. You can follow the show on those sites and interact with the show, sharing your thoughts by leaving comments for each show, letting me know if the show was an encouragement to you, or even if you have corrective criticism for the show. All feedback is welcome. Just keep the language clean. Another way you can help promote the show is to share it with your friends on Facebook and Twitter. And the most important way you can help support G220 Radio is by praying for the show. I would truly appreciate your prayers and consider it a blessing. Thank you again for all your support, and I hope you enjoy the rest of G220 Radio. And welcome back to G220 Radio. One of the things with dealing with or hosting a live show is technical difficulties, or maybe there's other things that are factors that go into play, because I do not have my guest with me at this time. I don't know if it is because of unable to connect or whatever the possibility or the situation may be. Maybe he just forgot. I don't know. But I know that he was down in Sturgis this week at the bike rally down there. He's a motorcycle rider and was looking forward to going down there and was going to call from there. So I don't know what the situation is with that, but we're going to go ahead and try to keep rolling through this. I don't have as much wisdom or expertise in this subject matter as he does, but we will try to kind of talk through some of these things. And as I get my thoughts together and try to figure out how we're going to go through the rest of this 45 minutes of the show. So bear with me. It's a live show, and these things can happen, you know, so praise God that we still have the opportunity to have this show and to share the gospel, the good news, and talk about subjects from a wide range of variety of things within the Christian topic. So since we are going to kind of go ahead and go through some of these things, I want to tell you about some upcoming shows for the rest of the month of August. Next week we're going to be talking with Pastor Jason Hilliard about Disney, and the title of that show is Disney, Be Our Guest as We Build You a Worldview. We're going to be talking about the differences, some of the things within the Disney movies, some of the things in the music, in the songs of these movies, and even some of the Disney stars, some of the ones that we see, they come up with these Disney shows, and they become very popular, very successful, and then get out into the world, and they become of age, and they just kind of go a little crazy with it and some of the things that they do there. Also, the following week, the way it is planned, this can change. This is subject to change for this show on August 19th. We're going to do a look at eschatology. What is dispensationalism? We are still in the process of getting the guest for that show. I'm waiting on a friend to get back to me as far as whether or not he could get the person that was suggested to be on the show to talk about dispensationalism. If not, I will try to get another guest for that, and if that does not fall through, we will go ahead and move to maybe a different show topic for that night. And then on the 26th, I'm looking forward to this one as well. I look forward to each week and the guests that come on. I'm very thankful for the guests that have been on the show up to this point. You know, it's so much easier, as you can see tonight, when you have a guest to, you know, kind of give them the questions and get their answers and their feedback and then just kind of dialogue from there. It's much easier than trying to ad-lib through a show with no guest. But on the 26th of this month, I'm looking forward to that show. We're going to be talking about open-air preaching with Bill Adams, and he's with Sports Fan Outreach International. George Alvarado mentioned him earlier, and so he'll be on, as well as Bobby McCreary of To the End of the Earth Ministries. He'll be on, and those two guys, two real wonderful godly men who have been open-air preaching for a while and have ministries doing that, and it'll just be great to hear from them and talk about that topic of open-air preaching. Also, Robert Poe is going to be co-hosting with me, I forgot to mention this, on the next week's show. He's going to come on. We're going to talk about the Disney show, and he's going to be co-hosting with me. So I'm really looking forward to that. This is a brother in Christ, a fellow Ohioan. So, you know, shout out to Ohio. O-H-I-O, here we go. So next week he'll be co-hosting with me, and looking forward to that and having him on with me. Good brother in the Lord. So those are some things coming up for the month of August. And then in September, I've already been trying to plan on some guests. I've been sending out some information and messages to get some guests in for September as well, because I have ideas for shows through September. So just trying to stay busy with the show, trying to get guests on, because, again, as I said earlier, when you have a guest, it's so much easier. But we're going to go ahead and try to do the best that we can tonight through this. What I'm going to do right now is go ahead and play this sermon jam of the week. This is something that I've had uploaded in my audio files for probably a month now, and I just have never had the time to play it. And so since we have lots of time tonight, I'm going to go ahead and play this sermon jam of the week.
I am horrified at the lack of fear in most of our lives. I am horrified at those who have no relationship with Christ, who have no prayer in their lives, no understanding of the Word of God, no growth in the objective realities of Christ in their life, and yet file into churches every week and sing songs and lift their hands and get involved in 1,000 church activities, never even bothered by the fact that they don't know God. I mean, I don't even know how it happened to us. No evidence of Christ in our lives, no nearness of God to our hearts, simply us doing religious things despite the fact that our mind haunts us at night. Despite the fact that night after night after night, we contend that tomorrow is the day that we pray, tomorrow is the day that we press into Him, tomorrow is the day that we find Him, all the while praying that every night or thinking it every night. Oh, God, forgive me, I know I didn't press into You today. Playing a game with God. I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. And I don't know where it came from in teaching. Well, yeah, I do. You know, we boiled Christianity into witchcraft, and here's how we've done it. We give you this little card that says, pray the sinner's prayer, and you're in. And so then people quote that thing, man. It's like a mantra. Put on the cloak, bring in the lamb. Quote after me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. All right, welcome. Do I have to do anything else? Yeah, be baptized. Or sprinkle, whatever. All right, wherever you're at. We're immersion folk here. Then you're in? Well, yeah. No. No. And I am horrified. Well, I know. It's that narrow is the path and few find it. I hate that text. I know that in this room and all over Dallas and all over the Bible Belt, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have been in church their whole life and know no more of God than the pagan who's been in the bar his whole life. Because this thing is more like the Rotary Club to us. It's what we do kind of for good works. It's kind of what we do to alleviate some of the pressure of life on us. And there's no rest. And there's no struggle. And listen, C.S. Lewis put it better than I ever could. We're like kids in the ghetto playing with mud pies. And we have no idea what is meant by a holiday in the sea. So we've got this living God, to bring the analogy into modern times, you've got this living God that says, come and know me. Come and grow in confidence with me. Boast in the fact that you know me. Let me fill your heart. I am an inexhaustible fountain of joy. Walk with me. Let me work in you. Let me deliver you. Let me save you. Let me stretch you. And we go, nah, I'm all right. Just trying not to cuss when I drive. Nah, you know, I'm all right. Listen, hey, God, all right. I'm in Sunday school. I'm in a small group. And I'm taking notes. And that's what, remember when I quoted just a second ago Jeremiah saying that the heavens shudder with great horror? The next part of the text says this, they shudder with great horror because my people have committed two sins. They have dug their own wells that bring no water, and they have forsaken me, the living water. And that's what's happened, man. I mean, whether you never come back to this church or not, this is the epidemic that plagues American Christianity. That it's been boiled down to you saying a neat prayer without there ever being any objective evidence in your heart. Because we don't want you to have to wrestle or fight, and we want salvation to come right now. That's never been true historically. So what happens in this kind of world is that we end up reading the Bible like it's the paper. You know? Oh. See, David killed the Goliath. That's good. Back here in business, I see that I'm supposed to tithe. No, I'm going to go back here to sports. Okay, I see. And so we just read. We read and we read and we read. We don't digest. We don't think. We don't meditate. We don't try to encounter the living God. We just read the thing like it's a Grisham novel.
And that was our sermon jam of the week. Like I said, I've been trying to play that for probably over a month now. And what a powerful, powerful clip of Matt Chandler really speaking to just the heart of what we see so much in the church today. You know, the simple pray this prayer, the superstitious, easy believism. And kind of, even though it wasn't intentional, kind of to segue into the topic tonight that we're talking about, the black church stereotypes and the social class gospel. Getting into this topic, this is what, and I have to confess this is a stereotype that I've had over, you know, the recent maybe year or so. It wasn't until this week of actually sitting down and looking at history of the black church, history, looking at certain things that the black church has dealt with, listening to people speak on issues in the black church, and listening to certain things that some of those stereotypes definitely changed. Because the stereotype that I had coming into this conversation and coming into putting this show together was I couldn't understand. Like, I kept seeing, and I was meeting, and I talked to, I mean, I have a heart, as every Christian should have a heart for all people, not based upon color, not based upon the different types of sinful things that we live in our life. We have a heart for all people to see them come to Jesus Christ, regardless. And so, you know, I used to have this stereotype because I would meet so many people who would profess to be Christians to me, and they were, you know, black, that would profess to be Christian, and we start to talking, get to talking, and I'd find out that they attend a church that is more Pentecostal in their teaching or more charismatic, and you know, so I was kind of like, okay, I can get that. I understand that in some of those you're going to have people who are still truly saved in a Pentecostal church, charismatic, but there's a lot of things that I would differ with. And then you kind of sit down and talk. But then there's a lot of people that I talk to. You'd see the denial of the Trinity in a lot of these churches. You'd see a false understanding of what the gospel really is. A lot of health, wealth, and prosperity, a lot of word faith in the gospel that's presented and preached in these churches. And so I just couldn't really – it was kind of like the stereotype that was building for me because – you know, as Christians, we know you do not build truth off of your feelings. You do not build truth off of your emotions or your experiences. Absolutely. Truth, which is from God, is what sets our experience and sets our emotions and sets our feelings, not the other way around. But even so, as people, as Christians, our experiences are going to, you know, have an effect on our mind and how we think of certain things when it comes to an issue like this, or maybe some other things, other types of issues. But again, truth comes from the Word of God, and that's where we need to finally rest. But one of the things that was said by Dr. Martin Luther King, he said in a comment, or he commented and said, you know, it's appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And I remember the first time I heard that, I didn't really think much of it until I heard that. And then I started to think, there's black churches, you know, there's white churches, Hispanic churches, you know, you have Asian churches and different ethnic background type churches. And when I first heard that quote, I was like, that's true. You know, it is kind of segregated because you have churches that are predominantly white or you have churches that are predominantly black, and you may have some mixtures in there. And I think we're starting to see more and more where some churches are coming together and worshiping together and all that stuff, and it's wonderful because when we get to heaven, we're all going to be one of every tribe, every tongue. We're going to be together worshiping God. So we should be able to do that here on earth. And so I used to think of that and look at it and say, well, wait a minute, if that's the case, I don't get it. Why are we separated? Why is there a black church? Why is there a white church? I didn't get it at first. And when studying this, And looking at some of these things, getting prepared for the show, that stereotype began to change because it started to really resonate with me, the fact that there are different, you know, there are black churches, white churches, Asian churches, you know, maybe a Chinese church or whatever, because of the fact that they are reaching a certain type of people group. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, we should still be able to work together with those types of churches, whether they be white, black, yet coming together for worshiping the Lord, coming together to worship God. But so that kind of changed that stereotype there that I had with that of understanding why they were segregated. But going back to the other stereotype that I had, I saw this stereotype of I'm seeing a lot of word faith. I'm seeing a lot of charismatic. And one of the things when I initially was talking with Dr. Kevin Smith through sending messages back and forth to just ask him to come on the show and everything, and I mentioned about, you know, from what I'm seeing, this was a stereotype, I'm seeing that many black churches are Pentecostal or very charismatic. And, you know, he corrected me and said, well, see, that's one of the things, the stereotypes. Actually, a majority of black churches started were Baptist or Methodist or AME. So you see there's those stereotypes that we can form in our heads, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to have this talk. And as I was looking again, like I said, I seen that there was things and misconceptions and misunderstandings that we may have, that we have different cultures, because God has given us that wonderful, beautiful, different ethnic backgrounds. We're all of one race. I strongly believe that there's one race. It's human race. So, you know, it's not that we're different in that aspect, but the beauty of the different ethnicities, I'll get it right, but the beauty of that, the beauty of different cultures, is that we can see that we have these differences, but ultimately we have the one common Jesus Christ. Where we're in common together, we can sit down with commonality in Jesus Christ. And praise God for that. So let's kind of get into some of these, some of the things with, you know, the black church. As I said, I started to look at some of these things, and we're just going to kind of look at that. All right. Another thing that Dr. Martin Luther King had said that he quoted was, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state, and never its tool." And this is key here, where he says, if the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. Let me read that one more time, that last sentence. It says, if the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. And this is the thing that I've seen. Again, the stereotypes were changing, but I was still seeing this problem. The more I would sit down and talk with, I have friends who are Hispanic who I believe them to be Christians fully, but they're more charismatic or more Pentecostal, and they belong to a church that's all Hispanic. And when you start to talk about certain doctrines and start to understand things, a lot of the doctrines are not biblically sound. A lot of the things taught are not biblically sound. And the same when I would talk with black friends who would go to a black church and say, hey, I go worship here at this church or this church, which are predominantly black churches, and we'd start to talk about doctrine, you know, and I would sit there and talk to them and find out that a lot of the things that they believe, again, not biblically sound. And I don't want to broad brush this because that would be foolish. I'm not saying that all black churches are not doctrinally sound or all Hispanic churches are doctrinally sound, because let's face it, all churches out there, or not all, let's go back and rephrase that, many, many, many of the churches that are represented in America have some doctrinal problems. Some very serious ones, and some just, you know, they do have some issues. But since the topic we're talking about is the black church, even though I do see the things like this in white churches as well, so again, not broad brushing this, saying, well, it's only confined to the black community, because it's not. It's just one of those things that this was the topic of the show, so this is what we're dealing with, that area. But that's one of the things that I've seen. And what he said here is it will become a irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. And so as I was watching some videos and listening to some things on the topic of the black church, That was something that came up. Not the quote that Martin Luther King Jr. had quoted here that I just stated, but the fact that the church in general, one of the things was, what is the state of the black church? Is it has become without moral or spiritual authority. And one of the things that was brought up in some of the things that I had listened to and was doing some research was one of the problems within the black church, and this was coming from black leaders of the church, pastors and people who hold professors and whatnot. But they were saying that the problem is the teaching, you know, and we're going to kind of get into some of that from, I'm going to read from a article that I printed off. But the teaching has gone from, well, actually, let me just go ahead and read that now. This is from an article. It says, in the days of past, the clarion call and mission of the black church was twofold. It served as a beacon of hope for the lost soul seeking grace and mercy. But it also functioned as an oasis for all issues affecting the community. The black church served as the voice in the wilderness, crying out that equality and justice belong to all persons, despite race, social status, and lived experience. So this was what the past was of the black church. You know, of course, first and foremost, for the lost souls seeking grace and mercy, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it also served as a crying out for those social issues, crying out for justice for all people, despite the race, as it said, social status, and lived experiences. And this is what the black church was, and it was such a beautiful thing that this was where, they were standing up and saying, no, look, the Word of God says that, you know, there is neither Jew, there's neither Greek or Gentile. You know, there's all are one in Christ. You know, we see that all are one in Christ. And so this was a church of preaching the gospel and standing against those social issues. But what we see today is we see a lot of, and I think a lot has to do with this reality TV. We see shows like Preachers of L.A., We see TV preachers like T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar, Eddie Long, Miles Monroe. These preachers, Frederick Price. We see these preachers who preach this false prosperity gospel message. T.D. Jakes doesn't even believe in the Trinity. And that's becoming something that's becoming more popular these days. People are starting to deny the Trinity and get into these oneness-type theology. But this is what's being preached and propagated. And so this theology of teaching true biblical gospel and standing for social issues has changed to now it's all about the money. It's all about what God will do for you if you come and give your tithe, you know, preaching on the tithe, saying, you know, you preach this, or if you give your tithes and you do the things you're supposed to do, God's going to bless you, as if God's grace works that way, because it doesn't. It's not dependent upon what you do. God gives his grace freely. You know, salvation is a gift from God. It's free. It's not dependent on how much tithe you give or trying to do all the right things. What we're seeing is this lack of teaching, true biblical teaching. And again, I'm not saying that it's not out there, because there's some great pastors. One of my favorites is Vody Bachum. He's one of my favorites. I like to listen to Tony Evans on Moody Radio at night when I'm driving home, and he comes on the radio when I'm out driving at that time. I love listening to him preach. You know, because again, it's not about the color. It's not about your ethnic background. It's not about the cultural backgrounds or distinctions that we may have. You know. It's about the gospel. It's about the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's many churches out there that are preaching a false message, whether it's a black church, white church, Hispanic church. There's many churches out there. We need to take everything that we hear and take it to the Word of God, and take it to the Word of God in context, not out of context. because that's the problem. Hermeneutics is the study of interpretation, how to study the Bible. And I think that we need to really get into studying hermeneutics and understanding how to study the Word of God. Striving for Eternity offers wonderful classes on how to going through hermeneutics. That's Striving for Eternity. You can go there and check it out. Most of them are, I believe, on YouTube. You can go and watch ones from the past. They're there. So there's in today's society, we have at our fingertips all the knowledge we need. Think about back then when these black churches were facing the discrimination, were facing these things, and they were standing up preaching the gospel, the true gospel, and then standing up against these social justices. They didn't have all these things at their fingertips. With technology, we have it all there. So there's no excuse for us as Christians to not be able to go and jump on the computer and access books and things that we would not have been able to access that quickly, or to look up things to find, and we just didn't have that access at our fingertips then, which we do now. So there's no excuses that we can't go and study these things to show ourselves approved, that we can't read the Bible and then go to these study Bibles that you can get online for free. There's all kinds of things that you can get on commentaries. They're everywhere, and a lot of them are free. So the access and the opportunity is there for us to study these things out. You know, but that is the thing. We're seeing that there's this lack of teaching. I was just talking to someone the other night about this, who mentioned to me that they used to go to one of those churches out of Atlanta, Creflo Dollars or Eddie Long's church. The name didn't come up. We didn't talk about which one, but and not seeing anything wrong with it. You see, that is the thing. We're following after these false teachers, these people who are preaching this false gospel message of a health, wealth, and prosperity, and wanting you and always preaching about money because they want your money. And people are buying into this. They're saying, I'm trusting in God for bringing me this blessing in my life. And a lot of times it's not even biblical what they're asking for or the type of blessing. They may not get that blessing. And see, so we need to understand, and we need to rightly divide the Word of God. We need to look at it from there. So that was one of the things that I really wanted to get into tonight, was the teaching. You know, and this is the thing, from reading on further in that article, it says, from what we was just talking about, it says, now in our contemporary society, that the black church has become so focused on preaching messages regarding the attainment of economic success and personal property. Has it begun to lose sight of its foundational calling, rooted in the message of salvation, with the promotion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? You see, it's a foundation. It was rooted in the message of salvation. And so we've gotten away from that. And, you know, people go to church these days looking to see what they can get out of church rather than going to praise the Lord, going to give their time and come together corporately to worship God. And so it's really a heartbreaking thing to see. And it's again, with all churches, not just the black church. But, you know, again, staying with this topic, one of the things that was mentioned when I was doing the studying of this topic and doing some research, I should say, on this topic, was certain things that we don't see. And this is something that I think the white church, and when I say these terms, please understand I'm just trying to, for the sake of conversation, but the white church in general, one of the things that was brought up was everybody's familiar with Miley Cyrus at one of those award shows doing something, you know, twerking or something like that. And there was a lot of outrage over it. People were speaking out against it, you know, church folks speaking out against it being wrong when Miley Cyrus did this. But one of the things that was brought up in this panel discussion that I was listening to on the black church was that within the black community, these young teenage girls, black girls, were doing this type of twerking type dance, whatever it is, for the longest time, and nobody was saying anything. Nobody was speaking out against that. But then you have this white girl, Miley Cyrus, come on and do this, and now everybody's speaking out, oh, this is horrible, this is bad. And so where is the white church? Where are those, the injustices for those in the black community? We should be standing up and saying these things for all the communities and not just when it's, you know, a little more relevant to us or so, you know. But that was something that was brought up, and there's been times in the past where, you know, the white church has stood silent when they should have been standing in the forefront. And there were you know, people who were standing alongside of the black church with the social for social justices as well. But we have to understand that, you know, there were those times where the church stayed silent. You know, and I think we see that today with the church overall in staying silent with abortion and staying silent on homosexuality or becoming, because when you start to say stay silent, you then see how we're moving into becoming more accepting. And I think that's what happens when we stay silent on certain things. We become more accepting of them, and they begin to infiltrate the church. Also in this article, it goes on to say that the message of the cross as the changing force of all aspects in life has become silenced by the message of the dollar. The black church, a place where people came to receive whole life empowerment, has now become a wealth workshop of and capital industry. It is the responsibility of the black church to not compromise the message of the gospel with the message of capitalism. That is, it must not become so focused on individualized gain that the essential message of the cross, grace, mercy, and liberty, becomes lost. The black church must restore its position as a full-service utility that links the work of God with the work of the community. Therefore, the question becomes, what can the black church do to restore its identity as a city of refuge and a beacon of hope? Above all else, the black church must return to its first love, the social, compassionate, and liberating gospel of Jesus Christ. The black church must stand on the teachings of Jesus despite the pressure and magnetism of the contemporary societal fads to mitigate the work of the cross for the influx of capital expansion. The black church must focus on living the commission of compassion while also continuing to preach the message of freedom, justice, equality, and hope for all persons from all walks of life. It cannot become so entangled with the message of riches that it overlooks the crucial issues of daily life. Deteriorating education, unaffordable housing, rising unemployment, and marginal health care, and several others. You see, so again, I know that I am by far not qualified enough to speak on this issue, and that's why I was seeking out to have Kevin Smith come on, but for whatever reason, that didn't happen tonight. And so I hope that this was still somewhat edifying and somewhat maybe caused you to think, because that is what the purpose of GT20 Radio is for, is to, you know, speak about different topics within the Christian community and to help edify and encourage you. So what? Why is there a black church? Why is there a white church? As I was contemplating this stuff over the last week of thinking about this, again, as I mentioned earlier, I think it is important. I think someone had mentioned this to me before because we had talked about this topic. You know, I don't think all churches have to be, you know, completely mixed. There's room for there to be a black church. There's room for there to be a Hispanic church. You know, if the people only speak Spanish, then a Hispanic church is going to better meet those needs of that individual, a Spanish-speaking church. But the thing is, we must, as Christians, be able to come together with that commonality of Jesus Christ. Now, doctrinally speaking, as we talked about the teachings being sound, you know, one of the other things that a guy on a panel that I was listening to said was one of the problems within the black church is division. You have the Methodists, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Kojic, and you have these different denominations or whatnot, and there's just so much division there. Now, I understand what the guy was trying to say about division in the church, and I've talked to people before who have said, you know, there's too much division, you know, God's not for denominations, and they hold to non-denominational churches. But even if you think about it, non-denominational churches still have a belief statement, and their belief statement may not match the belief statement of another non-denominational church. So regardless, you're still going to have some differences. And it is okay to have differences in secondary, third type issues, but not when it comes to the essentials of the faith. So if these churches do not hold to the essentials of the faith, do not hold to the true biblical gospel of Jesus Christ, then they may put church in front of the title of their name or at the end of the title of their name, but they're not a true biblical church if they do not hold to the essentials and do not preach the true biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, division, I would say, would not be the problem. I think what happens when we talk about the social gospel aspect of things is people want to come together for the social issues and say, well, we should be able to work with Catholics. We should be able to work with, you know, Oneness Pentecostals. Even though we have some very serious theological differences, we're coming together for the common good. Now, I think we can come together and vote for the common good and come together and do certain things, but when it comes to standing with someone based upon your faith, based upon the things that you believe, I think we need to be, there needs to be divisions. I think divisions can be a good thing when it comes to the essentials of biblical faith. But, and all that to say, you know, I just think that, you know, that was one of the things that he said was a problem, where I look at that and say that could be a cause of some issues if people are disagreeing and being divisive over secondary or third type issues within the church. But if it's over true essential doctrinal core essentials to the Christian faith, then you do need to divide. So one of the other things that was mentioned is someone said that on the panel that I was listening to that the church has become irrelevant to today's life. And I completely disagreed with that guy, and it took me right back to Vodi Bakum, who is, again, one of my favorite preachers to listen to. I was watching a video from him years ago, I think, when Sarah Palin was running for president or running for vice president, whatever, alongside, I think it was McCain. And he was on a news show. And there was a lady that was on, Christian minister, I believe, a female, was saying that, you know, we need to do things for culturally what's fitting for today. You know, women can fill these roles and do these things. And Vodi Bakum, and I'm not quoting this word for word, I'm paraphrasing, but he just said, it's not my purpose to make it culturally relevant. It is my job to preach the text, what the text says, to preach what it says, you know, in context, basically saying it's not to bring things to the culture, but bring the culture to the text of what Scripture says. Because culture, again, like I was saying, with emotions, experience, and feelings, does not change or dictate what the Scriptures say. It's the Scriptures that dictate that. the culture around us does not dictate the scriptures. The scripture dictates the culture. We don't go and say, well, today homosexuality is becoming more acceptable, so therefore we need to change the Word of God or preach from the Word of God to be more accepting to that. No, the Word of God is clear. It's sin. No homosexual will inherit the kingdom of God, so we don't change that because the culture is trying to say that it's more acceptable. And but the guy was saying that we've become irrelevant because we're not preaching things that are relevant to the people in today's society. I think, honestly, as like Vodi Bakum was saying, if you preach the gospel, if you preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to change, you know, because the gospel is the power unto salvation. It's going to change hearts. It's going to change minds. It's going to give people, make people a new creation to the point where they are going to have this new life and these new desires are going to flow from that. And that's going to change the way they see things. You know, there's this biblical worldview that when you're a Christian, changes the way you see the world. And that will definitely do that in the heart of a Christian. They will change the way they see things. And so they won't go to church and say, well, how is this relevant to me? It will be relevant to them because they will understand the God who they serve. They will have desires to follow him. Those desires will be changed. So, again, I do apologize. I know that I probably am not doing this as much justice as I really was hoping for tonight and really hoping to get out of this tonight. But maybe this is something that at a future date we can try and talk about again. If you have questions or if you have comments, please feel free to send them to the Facebook page, G220 Radio, or you can send them to gantzricky@gmail.com, and you can send it there. I would love to hear your feedback, whether it's good or bad, whether you enjoyed this show or you completely hated this show. Again, I do care to hear your feedback because it is important to know how I can do better in these shows to help edify and encourage you, or if there's things that I'm doing wrong that I need to repent of and correct. So, again, I hope that this show was somewhat informative to you. Again, I know I did not do it as the justice that you know, I would have done if I would have had a more knowledgeable guest on this topic. But I do hope that it was somewhat edifying. So, moving on from that, because we only have a few minutes left in the show, I just want to tell you or talk about real quickly again, G220 Radio, we are making some changes. If you haven't noticed on the page, I've made some changes to the logo of G220 Radio. Also, earlier when I played the promotional video, our audio clip, it talked about G220 Radio is a part of Disciple Making Ministries. Well, Disciple Making Ministries, I've changed that name. I changed it to G220 Ministries. It's something that I was planning on changing for a long time, but I just never really had the name to fit with it, and I wanted to change the ministry. And with G220 Radio, being that it's a verse that my life verse, you could say, you know, but it's one of those verses that just gives me so much hope. And when I look at it, Galatians 2:20. And so I definitely was thinking about this for a while. So G220 Ministries has become what Disciple Making Ministries was. And so I'm still working on some changes there, working on some new graphics for that, working on making some different changes. And got some plans coming up for G220 Radio. Plan on doing some things that I think you guys will enjoy or benefit from. So we are definitely out of time. I thank you for joining me tonight. Again, I pray that it was edifying and encouraging. And if not, you know, well, let me have the feedback. I would love to hear from you. Until next week, God bless. Good night.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations, it's because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation. That you are to flee from the wrath to come. To flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Now T-Mobile has unlimited for the rest of us, and it starts as low as $30 per line for 4 lines. So if you want your family to take 800 vacation selfies to share with the world, now you can. Get unlimited for everyone now starting as low as $30 per line for 4 lines from T-Mobile. Call 1-800-T-Mobile or visit a store today.
During congestion, users on this plan may notice speeds lower than other users and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs per month. Video streams at 480p with AutoPay, plus taxes and fees. Unlimited data while on our network.